I want to start this evening by asking you a question. Can you remember a time when the Lord kept you and preserved you in times of trouble and distress? And this trouble and distress came as a direct result in trusting God, in proclaiming God, in obeying God. Troubles, trials, persecutions, people mocking you and causing heartache and distress. These things all come to those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And yet, even in these times of great trouble and heartache, have you experienced the Lord with you? The Lord keeping you and preserving you, strengthening you in your trial and tribulation, empowering you through to keep going, even though you want to give up. And we can read of great individuals in the Bible who God kept and preserved as they went through difficult times. Joseph, sold by his brothers, falsely accused, falsely imprisoned, and yet God was with him. Even in prison, we read, God was with him. Job, who suffered great loss, great hardship of his children dying, of him losing all his wealth. And in Job 42, verse 5, we read him saying, My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. What about Daniel in the fiery furnace with his friends? In the den of lions, living a life of blamelessness, living a life of prayer, trusting in the Lord, following the Lord, and yet, in all that he went through, God kept him and preserved him. There are many examples of those who have gone before us. People who have gone through great difficulties in their life, and yet God has kept them through what they have gone through. And here is another example here in the book of Psalms in chapter 4, what was read earlier, where we see David going through distress and going through trouble. And where we see him speaking of the very things that he is going through, that in all that, he rests in the Lord. And this evening, I want us to take hold of this truth that God is with his people. If you know the Lord, God is with you when you go through troubles in your life. He will preserve his faithful. As we are called to trust upon him, to call upon him and obey in the Lord and rest and know that we are in his rest. So this is what I want to walk through as we go through the scripture this evening, which is set before us. Three clear points that in trouble and in distress, what we are called to do. Firstly, we are called to call upon the Lord when we go through trouble and distress. Secondly, we are called, and as we will see these things from David, is to trust God in the very things we are going through. And then lastly, as David does here, is to rest in the Lord, knowing who He is. So look with me as we go through Psalm 4. Look with me at verse 1, and it reads, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." So what kind of distress and trouble was David in here, where he had to call upon the Lord? Well, we don't know for certain. Most likely, and what others have said, that Psalm 4 is a continuation of Psalm 3, where David calls upon the Lord because of the trouble he's going through regarding Absalom, his son, who declared himself as king. And David had to flee for his life because his life was threatened. Or even others say that it's not so much a continuation and not so much a distress that being hunted down to be killed physically. But here in Psalm 4, it's more of an attack on his character. Whatever the reason, we know here that David is going through trouble. He's going through great stress, life-threatening, gut-wrenching trouble. Trouble which brings you down, which brings heartache to your heart, which even sometimes we cannot even talk or express what is truly going on in our heart. And we can know this by the word here where it says in the second part of verse 1, "You have relieved me in my distress." Here, that word distress means to be in a tight corner, to be in a place where you desperately need space, being backed up against the wall where you cannot move, feeling like you're suffocating and you're restricted. And you need to be set free. The distress that David was experiencing was very real and very great. And let me ask you, are you this evening feeling some kind of distress or heartache or trouble in your life? Maybe you're feeling suffocated, pushed back into a tight corner, which can be caused by various things in life, broken relationships, family crisis, where some kind of struggle has just suddenly come upon you, where you are truly overwhelmed. Where there's heartache, hardship, and what you're going through is real. And just as David here in verse 1, hear me, or in some translations it says, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. David called upon the Lord. He cried and prayed out to the Lord. And why did David do this? But because David knew and had confidence that God will hear him. As I read in verse 1, it says, hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You see, David's righteousness wasn't dependent on David. David knew that his righteousness that he had, it was God's righteousness. And God is the author of righteousness. This is why then David can boldly come to God and boldly cry out regarding the troubles he is going through, knowing that God will hear him. Because David knew the righteousness he possessed was a righteousness which was not his. Help me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. David comes to God on the basis of not who he is. Even though David was a king, even though David was great, even though to this day he is revered by Israel and the Jewish community, but yet David did not come to the Lord in his righteousness. He understood that it was God's righteousness in him. And that with that confidence and that boldness, he can come direct to the Lord. Because we have to understand, no one is righteous. No one is born right. To be righteous is to be in right standing with God. The Bible declares all have fallen short of the glory of God. No one seeks God, not even one. Because of the sin of Adam, that sin is placed upon all of humanity. We are born separated from God in a sinful state. And then our nature and our drive is to do the things which ratifies our flesh, you know, what we want, we go for, even if it brings heartache to others. You know, this is all because, you know, through we are fallen, and through being fallen and having no righteousness of ourselves, our nature is to do these things which are against God. Because don't forget, God is holy. But God is also good. And he is a God who is good that answers his people. W.A. Tozer quotes this and says this, that God answers our prayers not because we are good, but because he is good. You know, David's prayers, my prayers, and your prayers, if you know Jesus Christ, are answered on the basis of God's goodness and his righteousness in us, which is demonstrated through his son, Jesus Christ. But David goes further in verse 1. From coming to the Lord and praying to the Lord, knowing that he stands in God's righteousness, he also then remembers what God has already previously done for him. Look in the middle of verse 1. You have relieved me in my distress. David remembers that God has been faithful to him before in the past, that God has delivered him in his distress. And this is very important for us to remember and to grasp and to take hold of. What God has done for us before. What has he done for us in our lives that we can remember? Where he has kept us and preserved us. Where we wanted to give up and throw in the towel. And we found we cannot take it anymore. And it was hard and difficult. Where people mock you because you believe in Jesus Christ, where they ridicule you, where they laugh at you, where they accuse you falsely, where they push and push and push to get a reaction out of you, then to condemn you. You know, these things are real. But yet, even in the midst of those things, can you remember where God has seen you through? Where you want to give up, but God has not given up with you. And that in all that you have gone through, God yet says, I am with you. And that he will take care of you. He will never fail you. And let me encourage you this evening. God will not fail you here today either. He would always be with you. Be encouraged. Call upon God for who he is. He is righteous. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, sometimes people don't understand when it comes to Christianity or biblical Christianity, you know, or Christians who follow Jesus Christ. They think, you know, I'm from a Sikh background. And they think, well, you've just left one religion and you've come to another one. But what Christ has done has not, he's died for our sins, he's changed our lives, but he has also promised to keep us through trouble and be with us and take care of us and never fail us. Even though we want to give in, he does not give in. He is always faithful. So firstly, in times of trouble, we are to call unto God. Secondly, we are to trust the Lord. Look at verse 2. It says, how long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? David here is addressing those people who were falsely accusing him, humiliating him, spreading lies about him, some who may not even believe in God anymore, Some who just went along with whatever the wind was doing and whichever way that suited them, they went along with it. Those who were compromising. And that's why David says, how long, O you sons of men? You know, how long will you continually do these things? Where his shame, his glory of his ministry and what God gave him, putting that to shame? Loving worthlessness, seeking falsehood, lies, humiliating David. These were people, or sons of men, as David says, who were fickle, wavering, willing to walk away, continually slandering David and speaking lies about him. And even in these, in this situation, as people are slandering poor David and speaking lies and mocking him and so forth, even here, David trusts the Lord. Look at verse 5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. David understood that whatever his heartache and his hard times and troubles he was going through, being pressed from every side, being hounded and humiliated and lies and slandered and disgraced, that all these troubles that were coming upon him, he knew he can call upon God and that God would hear him. But also, he is to then also trust God. Call and then trust. And this is our answer this evening also. That in the times of our trouble, we are to call upon the Lord. And we are also to trust him. Not just call upon him, but also trust him, knowing that what he says is true, trusting in his promises and his word and what he has declared for us, and that who we are in him. And David knew this, and we are called to know this evening. Is that we need to trust the God. We need to trust the Lord. When people mock you, when people ridicule you because you're a Christian, when they laugh at you, when they discourage you, when they, you know, don't sit with you at work because they know that you're going to talk about Jesus, or they would, you know, like I said even earlier, push you to get a reaction out of you. You know, many of us have gone through these things, but we are called to trust the Lord and have confidence that he is with us through the things we go through. Why? Because we belong to him. And why are we to trust the Lord? Because here in verse 2, we're speaking, David speaks about the sons of men. You know, how long will they be doing these things? And then he goes on in verse 3, but know that. So he speaks to them, how long are you going to continually do this and do this and do this? And then he goes, but know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord would hear when I call to him. David knew that he was set apart from God, that God will hear him. And to be set apart is to be sanctified, to be called of God. And then God sets you aside for himself, for his purpose and plans, for his service, to worship him, to love him, so that we worship him, love him, follow him, obey him. We are set apart from this world of sin. And we are set and set apart unto him in righteousness. We are then made righteous. And if you are a Christian, you should also know this, that you are set apart. That God has set his love upon you. That he has called you and chosen you before the foundation of this earth. And that you belong to him. Regardless what others may be saying around you, what others may be accusing you of, but know that you are set apart. And in being set apart, we can have confidence that God will hear us. And this is what David's saying. The godly is set apart. Look what he says. So speaking about the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. The Lord will hear when you call to him. Why? Because you're set apart. It's God who sets you apart. You can't be set apart yourself. God calls you to himself. He changes your heart and brings you to a place of knowing who he is. And David had this confidence. We read in Psalm 91, verse 14, that God has set his love upon you. He will deliver you. Being set apart, God does not call you and choose you and then just leave you. He calls you and chooses you. And because you belong to him. And because he loves you and has set his love upon you, he will deliver you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, we read, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. This is a firm foundation. The Lord has put a seal upon you. God knows who his people are. If you love Jesus and follow Jesus and obey Jesus, and Jesus is your master and your king and your Lord, God knows who you are, and he has set a seal upon you. Therefore, we are to trust him in the very troubles and the distresses that we go through. And it's amazing how David, going through the distress and trouble that he's going through in Psalm 4, in the midst of it, experienced great joy. Look at verse 7. You have put gladness in my heart or, you know, joy in my heart, more than in the seasons that their grain and wine increased. You know, this joy which comes from the Lord in the face of trials and distress and trouble, this joy which is of God, is of worth more than great wealth in your bank account. This joy is worth more great joy than a bottle of wine. And here is a great example of David declaring that the joy of the Lord is his strength. That in his time of distress, he actually experienced God's joy, which is put within his heart. Look, you have put gladness or joy in my heart. This is what God does. That as we call upon him, as we obey him, as we trust him, knowing who we are and what God has done for us, in our trials, in our distresses, in our troubles, we can have great joy through the things we go through. We are not alone. He is with us till the end. And you know, we can all maybe experience or speak of a time when God has put great, immense joy within our hearts as we have gone through difficulties. You know, I came, like I said, I was from a Sikh family. I came to the Lord, the only one. And when I came to the Lord, my life changed dramatically. It was overnight. And, you know, I got baptized and always reading the Bible and wanted to be around Christians and know about Jesus. And, you know, it just was just this new thing in my life, which I've never experienced. It was eternal. But then the effects were external, because the things I did, I no longer wanted to do. The desires I had, I no longer desired them. So, in amongst all that, I started, or my family, especially my older brother, when we would get together and have family meetings and gatherings, they would all pick on me and mock me. And as being Punjabis, drink is always there. And as they continued drinking, it always came after they've had a drink. And it went on for years and years and years and years. You know, let's pick on Val, following this Jesus. And it was amazing. Well, it wasn't amazing. Amazing in the sense that I had never experienced anything like that from my family members, ever, never in my life. And then to suddenly see how they would all turn, it was great distress. But you know, in amongst that, God put joy in my heart. This is why I say, he will never leave you or forsake you. And we all have testimonies of this or similar things which have happened in our lives. So trust the Lord, whatever you are going through, and you will experience God's great joy in your trials and troubles, persecutions, heartaches. The Lord would always be with you. So in times of trouble, we are to call upon the Lord. We are to trust the Lord. And finally and quickly, we are to rest within the Lord. Look with me at verse 8, the last verse. It reads, I will both lie down in peace and asleep, for you alone, O God, make me dwell in safety. It's amazing how David, going through everything he was going through being backed up in a tight corner, feeling suffocated, in great distress, that he can sleep and have a sound sleep. Look, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. Because this peace is a peace which does not come from us. It's a peace you cannot conjure up. But it is a peace which God gives you. And it is knowing that God is in control. And God gives rest to all those in times of trouble. We read in Matthew verse 28, where Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And that is the ultimate rest, is that God has made a way for us to rest in him through his son, Jesus Christ. Where we do not have to rest or we do not have to struggle. We're trying to be right before God. We do not have to struggle in our heartaches and troubles, not knowing where to go. You know, how much people have I spoken to that run from this temple and then that temple and this person and that person in the time of the great distress that they are going through? They have no peace. And yet David has peace here. And he just goes to sleep. The Lord gives us peace in our trouble. In Philippians 4 verse 7 we read, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. God's peace truly brings peace to the whole being, to our mind, to our heart, to the whole person. Because it is a peace not from us. It is a peace which is of God. You know, and yet again, I just thinking about when I came to the Lord. Before I came to the Lord, I had no peace in my heart. There was a lot of heartaches I was going through. A lot of distress that I was facing for years and years and years and years and years. And it was when I submitted to Christ and committed myself to the Lord, this peace, which truly, as Scripture declares, passes all understanding, overwhelmed my heart. And not just mine, yours as well, if you know the Lord. Because it is a peace that comes from God in the very things that we go through. And God's peace will keep us through the very things we go through. And we are to rest in the Lord, for he will take care of us. And David knew this. And we are also to know this evening. Look, I don't know where you are this evening. I don't know what you are going through. Maybe there is great trouble in your life, in your heart, great anguish and anxiety. Maybe you're pushed tight into a corner. Maybe you feel like there's no way out. But let me encourage your heart. Call upon the Lord, because he has set his love upon you. Trust him and believe him, because he has set you apart. Have confidence in his promises and what he has done for you, because you belong to him. For he will give you rest in your life. And David knew this. We read in the verse 8, the last part, "For you alone, O God, makes me dwell in safety." And that word, scholars have translated, is not really a good word, safety. It should be unafraid, where it should read, "For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell unafraid." And this is what God does. He brings rest and security into our lives, where we are not afraid through the troubles we go through. So we can have confidence in our Lord and our God, that Jesus, being that great example, who continually prayed to the Father, who trusted his Father to do his will, who rested in his Father, in his God, came to do, was born for the very reason that he would come and die. The very glory that was set before him, that he continued and endured the cross, even unto death. So let us keep looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And let us know this, that in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times of heartache, which none of us are immune, if you belong to Jesus or not, you're gonna go through these things in your life. But those who know the Lord, let us know and have confidence and trust and believe, hold fast, and have an overwhelming joy within our hearts that the faithful of God will be preserved by God. Amen.